If you haven't seen the 1966 or 1972s, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken or Jeremiah Johnson, then that's all right. We're going to sit here. We're going to talk about it because, as a matter of fact, I hadn't actually seen Jeremiah Johnson up to this point. But all right, everybody ready? Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast.
Everybody, and this is Jay Lost Today.
J-Man.
And Smashley.
And this is NOW in Technicolor. And all right, how's everybody doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty well, you know. Yesterday was the D23 Disney thing.
Yeah.
Came up a little short on the Star Wars announcement. So, you know, the Star Wars corner is going to be kind of barren this week. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about a couple things on that. But we'll get to that in a second. Otherwise, you know, I want to see Baby Driver. That came out, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that did actually come out.
I want to see Spider-Man.
Yes. Yeah.
Haven't seen either one of those.
I have not seen either of them either yet.
You know, there's been a few announcements on several movies.
Yeah.
The one that hurt my feelings the most was the Willy Wonka remake with Ryan Gosling.
You mentioned that, and
it's going to be a prequel, apparently. I don't want to see. Like, there's a whole nother fucking book that could be a perfectly good sequel, but apparently they can't use that.
No, they just can't use it, apparently.
Is the guy still alive? Because if he's not alive, you can throw money at his kids.
Dead.
You can throw money at his kids. His kids will do whatever.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Come on now. But yeah, no, I've heard Baby Driver is great. So yeah, definitely want to actually see that. And I've heard a little bit of mixture on Homecoming, but so far, relatively good.
I've heard a lot of positive reviews.
Yeah. I mean, nobody was not positive in the end on it. But yeah. But all right. I guess we're going to hop into J-Man's Star Wars corner then.
Hey, the motherfucking Force you with us all. Motherfucker.
All right, man. You know, coming off the heels of the D23, we're recording on a Sunday. We usually record on a Friday. The D23 Star Wars thing happened on the Saturday, yesterday, the 15th of July. And everybody was expecting the trailer. Everybody was, you know, chomping at the bit. I'd heard rumors that the trailer was going to happen. Instead, they hit us with a fucking behind-the-scenes, basically, trailer. And it showed a little bit of other, you know, a little bit of new stuff. But it had some cool moments with Carrie Fisher. Everybody needs to check that out if they haven't. You know, she said some small things in there were pretty cool. There was some photos they released, some promotional photos. Everybody was red. You know, everybody was like,
"Yeah, those look really awesome." I want one of every one of them. I want them all and like framed. I think that they're like super cool, especially Carrie Fisher because you know, like she's gone.
They
like,
did one of Poe, Finn, Rey. They did come out with a Kylo.
Yeah, there was a Luke.
Yeah,
heck yeah,
all of them were pretty epic. But everybody got really hyped. You know, they did some Star Wars Battlefront 2 announcements too, but not much. A little bit more about the story and stuff like that. I was hoping for the trailer so we could talk about that. So other than that, you know, the only other real news that I saw is actually that they're actually hearing reports that they're not going to have the meeting of Luke and Leia in this movie. And I don't know, they're actually maybe save that for the next one. Small scene for the next one. I don't know.
Maybe.
I think there's been some footage shot of that, but I don't know. It's still up in the air. That's the only other real news I had, man. It was pretty barren this week.
Yeah.
Lots of just analysis videos on out there. People really going back into the old movie, Force Awakens, and trying to like look into Rey's heritage some more and stuff like that, and look into more Kylo and Darth's relationship and trying to figure more into that. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I'm pretty butthurt about the trailer. I was hoping for the trailer.
Yeah, no, I can understand. I can understand. I know you were looking forward to that, so that's definitely got to suck.
I feel like that means that they have to have something up their sleeve, like this week even. Like, just a tease. It just wasn't yesterday. Like, maybe it's even ready. They were just holding it back. Because, I mean, Disney did do a lot of stuff yesterday. They talked about a lot of other things. Maybe they want it to be a big boom and a big pop, and they don't want other, you know, because it would probably take all the credit away from everybody else.
They did announce the Star Wars Galaxy Edge land and had a...
Yeah, that you showed me, like, there's some pictures I guess you can see online, but J-Man showed it to me, and it looks very Star Wars, very Star Wars-esque.
Like, for a Star Wars fan, it's going to be at Disney. It's a new park they're making. It's called Galaxy's Edge. It's got
that park that they were proposing. I'm like, that's freaking awesome.
They
had
a 3D model yesterday at the place to show everybody what they wanted to look like. And there was fucking...
I saw that. I was like, that's looking pretty awesome.
Millennium Falcon, and there was the X-Wing, TIE Fighter, all that shit, mm-hmm. you know, all this cool stuff. So that's going to be really cool. And that's supposed to open next year. So
yeah,
I think it's next year.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And then Toy Story Land is supposed to open in 2019.
That's in Disneyland.
Yeah, that's in California.
Okay. Yeah. So you do this one in Disney World.
They did announce some stuff about Toy Story and the Lion King. Apparently, people saw the first footage of the live-action Lion King yesterday. And it's not, you can't see it online anywhere. Like, normal people can't, but the people that were there.
Yeah.
And they said it was amazing. People said they were in tears, blah, blah. They said it looked just like the
Movie.
Yeah.
Really?
So that's cool.
That's going
to
be
like
awesome.
To see that. Apparently, Hugh Jackman's going to do Scar's voice.
Ooh, that'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
That's the rumor anyway. But yeah, got a little off topic, but I guess we'll get into the first thing.
Yeah,
that's all I got for this. All
right, man. Well, then I guess we will hop into the flashback.
Luther. Oh, yes, sir? Congratulations on that filler. It was a great story.
Oh, well, thank you. I was hoping you wouldn't mind.
We're going to do a follow-up. Front page lead, and you're going to write it.
A byline for me? Oh, for God's sakes.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, you ought to know better than to ask that, Chief.
The supernatural doesn't bother you.
Not a speck.
Do haunted houses scare you?
They're mortar, stone, and wood.
Well, good, because you're going to spend the murder night in the Simmons house alone.
Oh, well, now, just a second.
What's the matter, Ace? You scared?
Oh, well, heck no. You kidding? It's just that I got to check my bowling schedule and everything.
Oh, well, you think it over, Luther, and let us know tomorrow.
All right, so everybody, it's the 1966 The Ghost and Mr. Chicken with Don Knotts.
Woo!
And it's a very, very fun movie. I really enjoy it. I've watched this since I was like a little kid. So
yeah, me too. I love Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Like, for real love.
Indeed. So I know J-Man here has not actually seen it before up to this point, so I want to get his viewpoint, so we're going to go in on that.
Both of these movies tonight, I haven't seen either one of them.
Very
so that's
yeah, yes.
First one in a while we've had. Like, yeah. We've been hitting some movies I had seen. So this was pretty cool. I enjoyed this movie. You know, Don Knotts has always been just like the goofball, you know, for me. And he's still pretty much a goofball in this, but there's still a little bit more seriousness in this than I think of than his Barney Fife character. And that's all I know, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I know. You know, there's still some definite goofiness in this character. A lot of funny stuff in here, you know. He had a lot of great jokes. But him with his love story, you know, I didn't really see a lot of that with Barney Fife. You know, he might have had some episodes with love stories, but
he did a little bit.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Andy Griffin Show, and you know, Barney Fife did have a
one
lady
love interest.
Yeah.
Thelma.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed with Thelma and only Thelma. Thelma.
Wasn't Thelma the same girl that liked Screech on Saved by the Bell?
Was that her name?
I think her name was Thelma too.
Thelma?
Screech.
Thelma.
The shitty John, the shitty ass bargain basement Don Knotts.
Yeah, basically.
But yeah, man, this movie.
Oh, that was fucking terrible.
Dude, this movie, I loved like all his karate chop bits.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the karate chop bits are fucking
hilarious. All of his fighting and shit like that.
I think it's always hilarious because like in every movie, I think he has to mention how he knows karate.
Yeah.
Like every role he's ever in, he mentions he knows karate.
It's
almost
his gimmick,
until like I don't know when you see him when he gets old, like real old. He makes a couple of appearances, and I don't think he says a thing about karate. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed his role as a scaredy cat in this, you know, and like trying so hard to prove his toughness. And dude, The ghost, man, it just got to him. What about the hedge clippers, man?
Man, what about those hedge clippers?
What about that gardener?
What about the shears? What about the shears in the neck?
He was
fucking blew his mind. He was like, that was his final straw. He was gone.
So the shears.
The movie is great. I really do enjoy this, even when it starts off with him driving down the road, right?
Yeah.
And old boy gets hit by a 2x4 as he's driving near the mansion. Yeah, the town drunk. And of course,
she's yelling,
I know you found that interesting, how it was the same guy that plays the town drunk in the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, there were several actors in this from Andy Griffith.
Yes,
there were
yes.
several. And there was some from the Waltons, too, right?
Oh,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
Grandma
fact,
Walton is his third grade teacher.
Yes.
Wow.
And then Andy actually has an uncredited role on the actual writing of the script.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's cool. I was going to say, where's he at? Is he in this movie somewhere and I didn't see him?
Yeah, no, he helped write it.
Trash can or something popping out.
He was pulling an Oscar for a minute.
Dude, what about the karate chops? I got to go back to that. When he first walks in there and he throws that fucking punch, man, he knocks that mannequin's head clear off.
He does.
He's still in fear, though. Just imagine if you walked into a room and knocked someone's head completely off with one punch.
Yeah.
Would you still
Luther
be worried?
Luther was a badass.
He should have been fired up.
He should have been fired up, but he was like, oh my God.
He hit those chops to the obliques, man.
Maybe he thought that there would be another one right after. Maybe he thought that there were multiple ninjas about to attack him.
I don't
know,
man.
Yeah, he was, well, everybody, when he got to the, because he takes a picture of the guy, right? The drunk. He takes a picture of him on the ground as his proof of evidence, and then he tells the lady to call his editor. And then whenever he gets to the, how about how nobody takes him serious? Just how about how big of a joke he is to everybody else around him? Like, they think he's, like, a nothing. Like, they, like, call him Scoop with, like, sarcastic tones, and they're like, cool it sport, you know, they just act like he's a youngin with no experience and doesn't know what he's
oh,
doing.
Oh yeah.
They're
well,
mean.
I mean, that's the whole thing with him being a the whole thing is that Don Knotts is a lovable loser underdog that you always want to win.
Yes.
And so they're giving him shit about the whole thing because he's like, murder, murder.
And then he just walks
they're
in
like,
there.
Calm down, calm down. Do calm and murder go together? Murder and calm?
Yeah. That was a good gag. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was a good
quote.
Eyes
look like they're going to come out of his head.
A calm murder is not
yeah.
something that happens.
No, no. And then old boy actually walks in as he's yelling about it, trying to get them to go out. And he walks in. He's like, oh, you're supposed to be dead.
Dude, he said, I think I'll know. Doesn't he say something like, I think I know when I'm dead or when I'm dead, you'll know
I
it.
Think when I'm dead, you'll know it.
Yeah, his wife had just clobbered him.
Yeah, his wife had just hit him with a boar because he was drunk and wanted him to put him in the drunk tank.
Murder, murder.
Sleeping it off is the best thing to do sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Yep, and then, of course, you have the guy that he works with, that one of the head news reporters, the dickhead.
Ollie is his name.
Ollie
that
comes
Beckett.
In. He always shows up. He comes over there to where he actually lives.
Yep.
Because he's taking out Alma. And that's the same girl that Don Knotts actually wants.
He's hopelessly in love with her
for some reason.
She's always nice to him. Like,
yeah, she's always nice
like,
to him. I guess she's like one of the only people in the town that's actually nice to him. Up until the point that he writes, and he doesn't even actually write it, does he? He ghost writes it for the janitor. Kesley, so that way they can get out the story for the murder that's been out for like what 20 years.
It's the 20 year anniversary, and that's when I think so. Before he takes on this challenge, though, Alma and him go out to lunch, but not really because that one guy's sitting. So he stands and he orders chicken noodle soup.
Yes,
and he does it standing, and he's like, "I'm having lunch with Alma." He tells everybody he's like so like excited.
He does pretty well eating that soup standing up. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't really slurp too much, and he didn't really get in on his nice shirt. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive deal. That was probably a 4.5-star soup eating.
Yeah, he was doing a really good job. And then Ollie, as soon as that guy's done, though,
Ollie slides in. Ollie's
like,
a huge
jackass.
Dick.
And, like, he steals Luther's chair, and Luther gets pissed about that. And then he, of course, Ollie starts teasing him again. And then I think to impress Alma, obviously, because it's right in front of her, he takes the challenge, right, to go stay in the house on the 20th anniversary of the murder, the Simmons murder. Woo.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll just do it.
Well, they're talking about doing it. Yeah, he's like, I'll do it.
Yeah, because he gets mad, I think, about, he does. Like, the seat stealing. Luther's teasing him. I think he's like, fuck you. Or not Luther. Ollie's teasing Luther.
He's teasing Luther.
He's just like, I don't like you very much, sir. You know, he's like, how dare you? And he's like, you took my seat trying to talk crap about me in front of the lady. He's like, you can't insult me. I'm going to do it. And he gets all fired up, like Barney Fife, like fired up. You know, he's like getting his bullet out.
He does. And then once he gets ill, he goes to walk in the house and he falls through the porch, through a trap door. So that's pretty funny when he actually comes in there, because like the old stereograph, the record player, kicks on. He's like, ah! So it just starts off immediately with him being frightened.
He's creeped out. Because he fell down. It was so funny when he fell down. He's such a scaredy cat. Like, he's the best actor to play a scaredy cat, I think, ever, of all time, maybe.
Hey, man, you got to talk about the organ playing, too.
Yeah,
that's
different.
Where we're getting, like, the organ playing does. When he gets all the way through, like, the secret passage up there, and the actual thing starts playing at midnight. He is just scared as shit, because that's when he runs down and sees the shears.
Yeah, that's when he sees
the shears, and he freaks out, and then he goes back to the actual news company, and the janitor at Kesley actually writes it down for Luther, basically. He basically sits there and makes Luther type it out.
Because he says, like, Luther says, I don't know how. And then he just says, well, it's blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's like, well, he tells him what happened. And then Kesley actually, like, makes it very nice and, captivating to read.
Yes. Also, though, about the organ, before he went there, I think that something important was said. It's almost like a game of Clue, like it was a clue for sure, that old ladies were saying on the night of the murders 20 years ago that the organ sounded differently that night, not like it always had when the Simmons, I guess,
much more dark.
Yeah.
Sinister.
So it was obviously a different night, I think.
It was a night full of evil.
Yes. Definite evil. Signify foreshadowing that of the matters, but I don't know. What about how all those ladies like suddenly start going crazy? They like come up and what is her name? Hyacinth. Yeah, Miss Hyacinth actually comes up and she's like, "Oh, it's so glorious." What about those women?
Yeah, they were like, they were the great. Spirit. They were spirit women. Spirit. They put their hands. She was like, "There's the vibrations over here," and like it's very like of the earth and like natural and.
They
whatever.
Were in touch with the earth's aura.
They were.
Yeah, they knew.
They could feel the vibrations. They could
what
feel
about
the
like? We'll talk about it later, but I think it's even funnier when you see them later. The things that they do later on, and when they're standing up saying stuff, it's really they're crazy.
Yeah, but of course, I guess like Luther kind of becomes like this town hero at this point.
Yeah, because Miss Hyacinth, I think, actually meets Beckett in front of the newspaper, and she's like, oh my gosh, the piece about the Simmons house was beautiful, the whole town's talking about it. And then he goes, oh, thank you. And he comes in, he's like, well, good piece on the Simmons thing. And he's like, I didn't write it, you
yeah
wrote it? And it's like, you they didn't even how did they edit how did a paper get put out with an article in it when the editor
well they needed a filler piece, and they told him just to grab a filler piece, and so he wrote the story and stuck it in. But overall, yeah, that's what sets in motion him going to stay at the house. And then after that, he comes out and writes that story. And then he becomes basically a town hero because of this woman. And the son her nephew actually shows back up.
I think his name's Nick.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
He shows back up, and he is now wanting to tear the house down.
Bulldoze it down. It's like a Friday, and he's like, I'm going to bulldoze down this bitch on Monday.
On Monday,
you
yeah.
better sign this paper. And it's Hyacinth's husband.
I need this as fast as I can.
Yes, Miss Hyacinth's husband is the guy at the bank, and he owns. They say that. The other guy says, how is the bank going to let this Nicholas guy come in? Because the bank owns that house. That's what I think the Kesley guy says. And you're just start putting two and two together. Along the way, this Nicholas guy is like up to no good. Why do you want to bulldoze it? Everybody's like, the house is beautiful. It's a historical monument. It has all these.
It is a famous house.
Yeah.
It's a famous
and
house.
It's like they just want to tear it down. He doesn't even, and the guy's not even interested in selling pieces out of it. Like, I mean, as y'all saw, there were still very valuable things inside. It wasn't an empty, like, crate. It had still the artwork, and he was just going to tear it down on Monday. Literally tear that down, the whole thing.
The house is historic. It's been used in other movies.
It has.
You could see it in the Munsters.
Yeah, you could see it in the Munsters, but you can't see the Munsters' house in this.
No. They wouldn't include that, man. It'd overshadow the movie.
It would.
The Munsters, man. You know that now. Fucking jig? Grandpa jig? The little girl jig?
The whole damn guy. I can't do
Eddie
the damn
Monster?
Jig. Yes.
No, I was thinking Adam Family little girl jig.
Wait, what?
Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday?
I was thinking her jig.
That's hilarious.
Wednesday Adams will, like, snap somebody's head. In half.
But it all comes down to this whole thing where they're going to go into a court case. They've decided
to try to prove
that
he's full of
shit. Full of shit, and they're like, he is not actually truthful of what he has said while he was there. And then they go through this whole thing, and
the judge is hilarious.
Now here's the fun part: they finally decide to go into the house, and you notice as you go in, they kind of give you this one thing where Kesley tries to go into the house where.
With everybody else, and they say no.
And they're like, they catch him, and he's like, no, and then nothing happens. None of the same stuff that happens when he was there actually happens, and they actually think he's a crackpot now.
Yeah. And his teacher threw him under the bus, too.
Shame on Grandma Walt.
She broke his dick off, man.
Broke his dick off hard.
Yeah.
Luther's very imaginative, boy. Yeah. He used to tell everybody all sorts of stories. He used to tell her he used to get transmissions from the CIA.
Could have been true.
But what about after the judge is like, well, Luther's a Looney Tune, basically, y'all. And like, he's like, there's nothing to see here. And basically, as Luther walks away, the organ starts playing.
Yep. After he walks away, the organ starts playing.
He hears it. Yep. He runs.
After everyone's gone.
Yeah, because the Alma stayed behind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody knew that. She went to go investigate, I think, because she was like, I think
she believed
Luther.
In him.
Yeah.
She
was like, something's up with this. And that man, Nicholas, also went in, and then he stayed behind because it's his property, right? So why would he have to leave? Nobody would question him. He would just go off into the shadows and, you know, kidnap a lady and be an evil villain that he was. And Luther comes to save the day, and he opens the secret passageway. How about him trying to do the passageway on the fireplace?
The books, throwing the books.
He was throwing
great.
The book and then trying to turn that thing.
Love
even
it.
After.
Yeah.
Kesley was like, it's down there. He like does like sign language to him, you know, and like the guy doesn't see him at all. And so he goes down there. He's like putting his butt on it, trying to like, he's like, come on, twisting it.
It's freaking great.
Oh my God. Might I add that we are recording this much earlier than usual. So I'm actually on my first beer. And I'm starting to get a little feel a little better about the situation.
Actually, I'm not drinking
anything. This is a Sierra Nevada / the brewery. And the brewery is Brewery, I think. And the U has the Motley Crue little dots over it. It's from Cali. They're both from Cali. It's 8% Raspberry Sundae Blonde Ale with vanilla, raspberry, and cocoa brewed in there. And goodness.
Delicious.
It's pretty fucking good.
I do have notes here though in my thing because as we watch these,
I just throw that in there real quick.
But no, I'm talking about my beer. I wrote notes about my beer because when we watch the movies, I actually drink two great beers on both different movies. They're both Golden Road Brewery out in LA, and I love that lady who does that. Stuff from her shirt and Vice. It's called Beerland, and they had a competition. Anyways, I drank a Ride On IPA on Thursday when we watched a movie, and then I drank a Palisades Pineapple on Wednesday when we watched one of these. I do, yes, I drank a bunch of beer. I like the Golden Road these days.
There you go. Had to get our beers in real quick.
That's all good. Yeah, I drank a fucking Red Hook earlier.
You came in drinking.
Yeah.
but yeah, the bookshelf shit, that was hilarious. That whole thing, that was one of my favorite gags in the whole movie. But I guess we were at Alma and him going down after her.
Yeah, basically him coming down after her and like everything starts to unravel and fold of what actually started happening, what had actually truly happened that night.
The mystery.
Yes.
Yep. The clues.
They all start to add up because Kesley makes them add up.
Yeah. Tells the truth and they're like, why didn't you say anything? He's like, everybody would have blamed me.
Yeah. He's like, come on now, they were my shears.
Yeah. He was like, this guy right here, he has motive. He said, I just literally worked
there. He wants the money.
Yeah.
Indeed.
He's like, what
this
do you
is
mean?
Exactly where you find out Nicholas was the killer.
He wanted the money.
He wanted the money.
He wanted the power.
He did.
He wanted the whim.
And the sugar.
Dun, dun, dun. And then Luther rides off in the sunset, basically, because him and Alma get married. It shows that, right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Like, he's Mr. Steal Your Girl. That's what he does. And that one guy, Beckett's, like, all butt hurt, you know?
Fuck that guy.
I'm pretty sure that guy is in I Dream of Jeannie. He is the guy who played Ollie Beckett. I'm almost certain. I don't have my phone. But the guy who plays Ollie Beckett, I'm pretty sure, is in I Dream of Jeannie. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Ollie Weaver. No.
Weaver, is that a name?
Yeah.
Oh, Beckett.
I thought
paper.
George Beckett was the one that actually.
Who's the name of the paper?
George Beckett.
That's the okay. Yes, so Ollie Weaver is the editor at the Beckett newspaper. I thought he owned it, so I guess I thought his name was Beckett.
Yeah, no. He George Beckett is the one that's been teasing him. Him and Ollie, though.
They're both Beckett the and ship. Weaver. Yeah. Okay. Well, Ollie, I guess I heard Ollie, and I thought Ollie was Beckett this whole time. I think I've
been both dicks.
It.
They're both.
Oh
dicks.
No, they're
well, they
both total dicks.
They are. But, okay, so Ollie Weaver is in I Dream of Jeannie, right?
No. George, I think, is the one that's actually in.
Who is the one with
George,
Alma?
George is the one.
Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's who I talked about, I guess, most.
Yes.
Most of the time. Okay. I was like, oh my God, are all my notes wrong right now? It's just what I was thinking.
Well, it's just a mix up of the two bad guys' last names.
Well, they both suck.
Yeah, I mean, you just mixed up their last names. It's not a big deal.
So Beckett is on
I Dream of Jeannie.
Yes.
I knew it.
Dick Sargent is his real name.
Oh, yeah.
He actually
Camel
is
by the Sea, California.
Wow. He is a, he's not a dick.
Carmel by the Sea.
Carmel
by the Sea.
Like Walking
my
Dead.
Goodness.
Carmel.
Goodness, my man.
Is this real?
Carmel.
Yes.
Carmel?
Carmel or Carmel,
fuck?
Whatever.
Who
no
cares?
One cares.
No one fucking cares.
I'm running away. It's Carmel by the Sea.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a city in Monterey County, California. Wow.
Oh, that's fucking wild.
I've only been to L.A.
Yeah.
And Long
yeah.
Beach once.
Yeah, Long Beach. I liked Long Beach, except for the fuckers riding on the Segways. Made no sense.
What do we vote this movie as? Is it time for that?
Well, we got to talk about the ghost at the very end.
Oh, no.
Playing the organ at the
yeah, at the very end where like
at the wedding.
At the wedding, and like it's actually the ghost sitting there like playing the organ.
Who was the ghost? Was it of the people or who?
That was actually his uncle. I think that was actually the actual dude.
Okay.
Sitting there playing it. I think it was mostly in justification. I feel like he was playing that in justification for the fact that someone had actually finally solved the murder in 20 years.
Dun,
oh, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was a good deal.
They're like victorious.
Yes. But in true fashion, most people just get frightened. But all right. What's everybody going to rate this?
Someone else go before me on this one. This one's hard for me.
Jay, I'm giving it a case of 40s.
A case of 40?
4 and 5?
Yep. I love this movie.
Wow. You jumped high. Smashly?
I'm giving it a 4.5.
Wow. An unprecedented 0.5 has been added.
Yeah, that's almost like, what? Point .5.
Somebody, okay, so.
This
yeah.
is
like,
this
I'm
is
giving
huge.
It a case and a half of 40 or something.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, like
dude.
I think that I should drop one as I buy them. Like just one needs to fall out of another pack, not of my pack. You know, for all the homies, for Don Knotts, pouring out for my homie.
Huge. This
four
is a huge
half.
Rating.
I give it. That's solid. I'm not changing my mind.
All right. This is wild.
Oh, man. I'm gonna go 4.
Four. All right.
I'm gonna go 4. I'm gonna go a case.
Gonna go okay. So all right. So
I didn't want to insult the movie.
You would insult it.
Yeah.
Would
it,
you
it's really
it
good.
Lower?
I was thinking between 3 and 4, but I feel like it's too good
for
a 3.
It's based on how much you really enjoyed it. This is what the scale really is.
I'm gonna stay with the 4, man.
You're gonna stay with the 4.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So in overall, we would probably give what like a fucking
4.75.
Yeah. Overall. So.
Yes.
That's damn near perfect.
Yeah.
That's nice. I love it.
I think it would be like a 4.75, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was like after, I mean, roughly.
Yeah,
roughly.
Like, or like a 4.5, or I guess it would be a 4.5.
It was
a damn good movie, though.
Yes. But all right. So with that being said, we are going to mosey our asses and freeze our way into.
His name was Jeremiah Johnson. They say he wanted to be a mountain man. Nobody knows whereabouts he come from, and don't seem to matter much. He was a young man, and ghosty stories about the tall hills didn't scare him none. Bought him a good horse and traps and another truck that went with being a mountain man, and said goodbye to whatever life was down there below. This here's his story.
Robert Redford as Jeremiah Johnson.
Jeremiah Johnson made his way into the mountains.
I know who you are. You're the same dumb pilgrim I've been hearing for 20 days and smelling for 3.
Betting on forgetting all the troubles that he knew.
Take him.
What?
Take him!
Ma'am, I wouldn't know how to tend after it.
The trail was wide and narrow. The eagle or the sparrow showed the path he was to follow.
Are you all right?
Sure. I got a fine horse under me.
A mountain man's a lonely man, and he leaves a lot behind.
How's the war going? Which war?
It ought to have been different, but you oftentimes will find that story doesn't always go the way you had in mind.
If you value your hair, you will get married.
Jeremiah's story was that kind.
He was a man the Indians prayed to and cursed and tried to kill. Redford as Jeremiah Johnson. Some say he's dead. Some say he never will be.
Jeremiah's story was that kind.
All right, so 1972's Jeremiah Johnson, starring Robert Redford. This was actually a movie that not only J-Man not seen, this was one I hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have seen it a million times.
Yeah, Ashley over there had actually seen it a million times, but neither me nor J-Man had seen it. And I found it very, very time-pieced. Like, it's very, very Western front, or like Northern frontier-y mountain man.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, definitely. I read a few like comparisons and like other people's reviews. You
mm-hmm.
know, just to see what they thought. And a lot of people compared it to other Westerns from the 70s, and they were like, "This was a lot better." Like they said, this was one of the best ones of the 70s.
Yeah. The movie is great. It is like I said, a Western Northern kind of like, or I guess Western mountain.
Yeah, like.
Man, kind of. It's like a Western story set in the mountains.
Yeah. Like Colorado type area is what I'm thinking.
It's set in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Rocky Mountain type area. But a lot of people said this was a lot better than like. In their opinions, better than the John Waynes and Clint Eastwoods, because those were just like, I'm going to kill an Indian. I'm going to bang a chick. I'm going to kill an Indian. I'm going to bang a chick.
I'll give you that. This has a deeper story to it. But then again, like, this is actually based on an actual guy, as we've both read up on, which is Liver-Eating Johnson.
This was a hell of a story. In our last show, when we pulled the thing out, you know, I was reading it then, and man, that's a hell of a fucking story to be based on. This guy literally was eating fucking dudes' livers.
Yes, killing them, cutting them out, and then eating their livers.
And he literally was doing that because they thought that the liver was part of their afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that was key to get it. So that was just like the ultimate insult.
Oh, yeah.
He was killing them and eating their livers just to like fuck them in life and afterlife in their eyes.
Well, yeah. I mean, but we'll get to that. We'll get to why he actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, we can say, you know, it was very similar to the movie.
It's very similar to the movie. Like, he actually, like, seriously, though, in a lot of ways it's similar to the movie because he does indeed do a huge favor after killing some Blackfeet with the flatheads there. And he actually receives that woman for his wife
in trade. He doesn't want her, and the guy tells him if he doesn't take
if you don't take him, it's an insult. They'll kill you because he has to actually be able to trade you something better than what you just gave him.
What can be what you just gave him? You gave him a bunch of scalps and a whole herd of like horses.
Yeah,
like,
gave him a bunch of horses and a bunch of scalps, and he was like, "That's a great gift. He's got to have one to match it or at least best it."
He's like, "Or they're going to kill you."
Yeah, or they're going to kill you. Kill both of us.
Yeah,
and the boy. He was like, "All of us." Everybody.
Yeah, but of course, you have the old man that he met when he first gets into the
Bear Claw.
Yes, Bear Claw.
Grandpa Walton. Okay, so how perfect is it that Mr. and Miss Walton, Grandpa and Grandma Walton, are in both the movies that we have picked this week? Like, they just go together. They're hand in hand. It's the Waltons. That's what it is. That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
It's like Grandma and Grandpa.
Bear Claw fucking ruled.
He
man.
Is amazing.
Bear Claw is amazing. Dude.
He basically teaches this guy everything.
He is an old ass man. He outran a bear.
Yeah.
He outran a bear.
What about that laugh?
How much did those clothes weigh?
A bunch.
And outran a bear.
Oh, yeah.
Old as fuck. Probably drunker than hell.
Always. He's laughing.
Yeah.
What about when he
was
the first time he meets
laughing.
Him and tells him, go warm up, get you something to eat. And then he says, you said you're going to skin a grizzly. He said, here comes when he brings
the live bear because he's like,
into his
as
own
fast
house.
As you can bring it, I'll skin it. Yeah. And within like a few minutes, he has a grizzly running directly towards that cabin,
like,
which he leaps out of that fucking
window.
He
does a little loop-de-loo.
Good tuck and roll.
Good tuck and roll. Old ass man.
Metal Gear Solid worthy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he just, the laugh the whole time is like it's just ridiculous.
But yeah, no, like that whole segment with him is only about like 5-6 minutes. And it's great. It really is. It's like one of the highlights of the movie. And of course you meet where we mentioned the boy. Earlier, this is where he then meets the boy and the woman, as he refers to them, because of the fact that he's met Hatchet Jack at one point during this movie and received his 50 caliber bear shooting rifle, and it's supposedly, I guess, what like that this woman really did exist, but she didn't actually have the little boy at the time.
Yeah,
because he doesn't actually pick up a little boy here. He just like literally meets this woman that he later like travels with, and I guess drops off at a town near her.
Yeah, I don't think they had the real boy in real life. You know, I think
yeah.
Just added for the movie.
I think this is just for the movie, but it's actually a really good, well set for the movie though.
Yeah, I think it shows how kind Jeremiah Johnson is. He's so ruthless, but he also has the biggest heart because along the way he like adapts to, and he's from like the Mexican War, so I think it's assumed that he's, you know, troubled after the war, and he's trying to just go set and be alone. He doesn't want to be with anybody, and yet here he comes off with a wife and a little boy, and takes them all in. And
he gets the little boy, then he gets the wife. The boy doesn't talk. He's a mute.
Little
and he gets little Caleb, and then later he gets the wife, and then they settle down.
They built
a huge log cabin.
It's so
that was
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, after they traveled for a while, you know, first they were really kind of like, you know, standoffish,
mm-hmm.
and they grew together. You know, they really did. Like it was good to see that, and then that cabin they built was badass as fuck. after they all started working together and came together. He was like, this is the perfect place to settle. We got the fucking mountain over here blocking the wind and shit.
Yeah. After this, this is where they set up the start of the other part of the actual story here, where they have these guys come up and they see Jeremiah and they're like, we need you to lead us to this party of people. Oh, man, they are so, so annoying. The dude with the glasses? I wanted to punch him so hard.
What is, hey, someone had already punched him. That's why his mouth
was.
It's
probably
like
why
that.
It was.
It was a straight up droopy droves.
It was. And this motherfucker, though, like,
why did they demand anything from him? Like, why did they come to his house, knock on his door, and expect so much?
He's sitting there looking at the boy, and he's looking at his wife, and this guy literally is just like, and these are good Christian people that need to be taken care of. They're good, like, looking at this woman like, this savage here.
He called her a squaw later.
Yeah, he called her a squaw. Yeah. He was like, how long have you had this? And dude, that just pissed him off. Yeah. It pissed him off hard. He was like, that's
my
wife.
That guy was a fucking dick.
That guy was a douche. Total. And then he talks them all into walking through that damn crow graveyard.
I wouldn't have done it.
No, they should have just taken the trek. It was 20 miles out of the way, but I mean,
stuff is on the burial ground. He told them.
Yep. And then that's actually what, I guess, catapults the next part of this on his way back. He gets an odd feeling in his bones and then
he
races
sees the blue.
Back. Yeah, when he
the
sees
the blue thing on the
trinkets. The
grave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the blue things of hers.
Yes. And then he rushes back and they're dead. And this is the point where he then goes mad, really.
Yeah.
You know, he goes mad, and the crow are constantly attacking him.
He turns into this fucking badass, dude. He's like the Terminator.
Pretty much. This is where, like, literally, I mean, dude, like, he is attacked constantly,
the first run-in, dude, where he runs up to their camp afterwards.
Oh, dude,
and he pulls
seriously.
He's holding two rifles at once.
Yeah, he's a badass.
That's fucking
boom,
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
boom,
dude.
Boom, and he pulls that fucking
that's
knife.
Literally Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, and the pistol, it was nice.
It's literally him just fucking shooting two.
Yes.
One of those things is a 50 caliber. There's
no
way.
No
way he could really do this.
No. This motherfucker was holding a 50 caliber rifle and a 30 caliber rifle.
If he would have shot, he would have fucking did a backflip or some shit with one arm. He would have knocked himself the fuck out. But supposedly, this dude was supposed to be like, what, 6'5", 260 or something?
Yeah
essentially
like
the real Liberty Johnson is like 6'5", 250, 260.
All muscle or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, huge as shit.
It's crazy.
Just one of those brick shit house of a man. But like the dude, when he like leaps after
on the horse?
When he leaps on dude. Like, he's shooting him, he pulls the pistol, he shoots him, and then he goes with the knife, and he, like, leaps on dude.
Well, dude, he drop kicks the one dude off the horse when he's trying to fly, when he's trying to run away. He literally jumps in the air and
no, I know,
kicks
I'm like, dude,
horse.
This is, like, the whole scene is fucking amazing. It's, like, one of the best fight scenes in the entire movie.
Let's just talk about how awesome Robert Redford is.
Oh,
as
dude,
a standalone, almost, like, in this whole thing. Like, it's about him.
You got the one where he's going, dude jumps out of the tree, kills him, and then he walks, he goes a little farther, and, like, the one that just pops up out of the fucking ground. He's a badass. What about you? You said he was doing all his own stunts.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm sure
he did a lot of his stunts.
But and like with that being said, like the whole thing is just about him. Like it's just about him. It's his journey the whole time, and like he does such a good job at making you feel like the feelings he feels. Like in the very beginning, I know when he like is. Like when he lights that fire, you're so happy that he lights that first fire, and then when that big glop of snow like falls on it, you know, you can't help but feel like a little like, damn man, like you just feel that, like you're like, if I was out there in the woods and just got a damn, you know, fire going and all of a sudden a giant heap of snow gets thrown on it and gets put out, I'd be like cussing up a storm. I've been kicking shit. I've been mad as fuck.
He was fucking about to fall over dead.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
like,
he was about to die.
Like you're saying, like this whole movie, everyone else's screen time is basically just minutes, you know, like pretty much, you know, like there's some point, you know, the boy and her.
The boy
probably had the second most amount of screen
time.
And then his wife.
The bald dude.
Yeah.
He had quite a bit of screen time because he was there for the minute he left and he came back and he had the hair and everything, which was wild.
Yeah.
He had some wild hair, boys.
It was, you know, it is pretty much just all him and his emotions and going through hell to get started, figuring it out, turning into a family man, then turning into a raging badass.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, it's really cool.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, I didn't think I was going to like this movie as much as I did.
I told you.
I was interested. Like, I was wondersome when I actually went into it. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to like this or if I'm not going to like this.
I'm not crazy about westerns.
It used to come on all the time.
They're all the same kind of.
I was like, yeah, it really depends on what it is.
Like, this thing used to come on the weekends, like in the afternoon on like a Saturday or Sunday, like all the time on like Channel 8, like all the time. All the time. Like,
well, I mean, I don't know. You watch a lot of Bonanza. You don't want to see a lot of Bonanza.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So, like, maybe you didn't even know what it was.
Gunsmoke.
Yeah, right? You know, I'm just like, God damn. I mean, I know people love these shows, but I wasn't a big fan.
I think maybe, too, that's probably why I've watched it as much as I've watched it, because I literally...
My grandpa watched the shit out of Gunsmoke.
Yes. I liked Jeremiah Johnson. I liked the music in it. I think that it was a...
It was interesting how, like, they had these big... The breaks and stuff, intermissions and stuff.
I like how it came in. I was like, yeah, so the first 3 minutes of this movie is literally just an ombre, where it's like opening.
Yeah. Like later on, he's a fucking raging badass.
Yes. Yes. I mean, he's a raging badass. Like, he meets up with old boy again, and he starts to head north, and like he just continues to fend off these Indians till eventually, like, one finally gets him.
Yeah.
One finally, like, kind of stabs him.
Well, yeah, he's dead, but he still kills the shit out of him.
Oh, he still kills the shit all out of him.
The crow respect him at the end. He lets the one guy go. Remember, he kills everybody. He comes after all. Everybody comes after
him. Oh, that's right. He kills everybody, and then one dude is sitting there.
He lets him go, and he spreads
like, he's on his knees, and he is literally, like, praying, and dude just turns around. He just, you know, and Jeremiah turns and leaves.
When he lets him go, he spreads the word about, and Jeremiah Johnson then becomes a legend and a...
He goes back to the cabin.
And the crow then becomes mad at him and keeps sending one after one. And after one come, he kills every one of them. Every one of them. He kills all of them except for the one at the end, and I think his name is...
Pants his shirt red.
Pants his shirt red, that is right. Yeah. And Jeremiah goes to grab for his weapon, and the guy throws his hand up in a peace symbol, and like, that's how it ends.
Yeah.
Like, they respect each other.
Yeah, that was after, you know, he went back to the cabin and saw the tribute to him.
Yes, everybody had their...
Well, he basically,
stuff.
Because he had, yeah, it was, because the whole thing is with... especially with the crow, is kind of after so long, if you can't best them, that like you become like one of the greatest warriors. Mm-hmm. You become legend, because like literally it's all about, with the crow, it's all about being the best warrior.
He beat their top guy just over and over.
That's because like that's their whole thing. It's like they sent their top guys and they couldn't come back. And they're like, this guy like literally wiped us.
And he really, I think there's nothing left. Yeah, it's just Jeremiah. He's bee's knees. He's like, I can't beat you.
Yeah, so I mean, like pretty much like they said, like you said, they come to the peace, the how, the hands up.
It's the white flag, flag of surrender. And
how can you not? Yeah, like that's just...
Do you think that was a ploy, man, just to get him to put his guard down?
No.
I think he proved himself.
I'm pretty sure he just lived out whatever was left of his life.
The liver-eating Johnson, there's a fucking statue for him.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it's wild.
Where's that at? And is it in Utah? Or?
Well, see, he was actually, if I remember right, he is actually was born or buried in, like, California. And then they actually had the body reburied in, Wyoming?
Yeah. It's a bronze statue of him on his horse over his grave in Old Trail Town in Cody, Wyoming.
Yes.
I want to go to that.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. That would be really badass. Cool to see.
They always say there's nothing to go see in Wyoming. Well, there we go. There's
something right?
To see in
Wyoming. Come on now. We've named at least one thing in Wyoming to go see. God dang it.
Fuck yeah. Now in Technicolor, changing the game.
Woo! but shit, this is awesome. All right, everybody. Well, I guess we're going to kind of go into it and find out if...
We got to lose it. Lose it. Lose it.
All right, everybody. So we're going to find out the rating system on this one. It's the case of 40s, a case, you know, a six pack, a 40, and going to sleep, which is pretty much all of them. But you never know. We can throw some wild ass shit in here, apparently, because now we're throwing halvesies in there. I might as well just call this a fucking number system.
I won't do that again, I guess.
That, no, it's
that
all right.
Just, that
I don't
was
care.
Just the real feeling.
So overall, come
four.
On, goes to Mr.
Solid
Chicken.
Four.
Solid four.
Solid case for this one.
Case.
Jeremiah Johnson gets a...
I'm going case. That's where I'm going with it.
I'm giving it a four.
So everything, it gets a solid case.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Four's all around.
Four's all around. So overall, the goes to Mr. Chicken got a case and 3/4 of a 40. And... this one got a full case. Okay. So that's fine. 4.75. I love it. I love it. That's great. But I know we need to actually get into the bowl pit.
Oh my gosh. Give me all the vibes of the universe that it's something I don't hate. Because there's stuff in there I hate. It.
Wow.
Wait, what?
It.
It? Really?
The OG version. You know, I think, yeah, it.
That's awesome.
There we go.
Lacey.
You picked it.
I have mixed reviews about this. Maybe I'll like it as an adult, but I know as a kid it scared the ever-loving shit out of me.
Well, this is
going to
be interesting because admittedly the first half of it is better than the second half.
It all scared me. The thought of a clown in a storm drain. Just eating little kids and I'm a little kid. Okay, me.
This is going to be awesome. I was hoping maybe we would pick this later on, but this is going to be good. This is going to be good. All right, everybody. So we're going to hop into our other segment, Pitch It. All right, everybody. So this is Pitch It, and... we're going to come into this, and the first thing we're going to mention is that J-Man actually won the last Pitch It as well again.
The most hated man in the movie Pod Squad wins sometimes.
He's won twice now. He got 44% of the vote on this with 54 votes.
I will continuously say this. I won the first one.
So
that's
Vampire
all
Hunter T.
That's all that matters. I won the first one. I'm a real winner.
You are the original winner.
Right,
you are
OG,
the original
Smash
OG
League
winner.
Over here, so.
Well, as if.
So it doesn't even matter to me.
It was a big
deal.
It was solid.
Except for that I hate losing, so vote for me.
It's true.
I literally hate it.
Ugh. But all right, everybody. So we're going to hop into the newest segment, Pitch It, which is going to be Mountain Murder Mystery. Oh, I'm going first? Oh, okay. Oh, good. So the title to this one is actually called Escape from Ghost Mountain. And my movie stars fucking Kurt Russell as he is actually the mountain man in this story. And he moseys on in because he is Snake Plissken, mountain man. And he has been forced to solve the murder mystery of Ryan Gosling. He has been killed in this town. And he comes in and they have injected him with a strange snake venom that could possibly kill him if he doesn't get the antidote within a certain amount of time. And then he's going to kind of come in. He's going to go through. He's going to shoot up a number of people. He's going to find out who did it. And then he's going to then turn around and find out that the snake venom was actually not anything at all, but merely like a common cold or some shit. And then he's going to kill that guy. And then we're just going to fade to black.
This is an interesting take. Mine is also an interesting take, and it may be a little too close to some people's hearts, but, you know, like, you know, in Fast and the Furious, when you have great franchises, you know, you have to write people off sometimes. You have to write people out of stories when they die. So, you know, sometimes it's kind of bad. They wrote Paul Walker out of Fast and the Furious, didn't they?
Yeah.
I've never seen a single Fast and the Furious, so I have no fucking clue. So I'm hoping they wrote him out.
They did after he died.
They did.
Okay.
They wouldn't do that.
Since we're hinging on a mountain murder mystery, I thought I would stick with one of the classics, one of the classic franchises that never got its sequel.
Brokeback Mountain. And the Brokeback Mountain murder mystery. You know,
yes.
Dealing with, of course, Heath Ledger's, you know, untimely passing. We have Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
And, you know, he's looking to solve the mystery of his murder because one time he goes out to, you know, do whatever they do in that movie.
Other than each other. His partner or whatever. And, you know,
I've never seen the movie. So.
He goes out. He comes back. Heath Ledger has been killed.
Yeah, Heath Ledger's been killed, so he has to...
Because in real life he died.
So he has to enlist a team of detectives to help him out, and the team of detectives would be cast. You know, that's something I'm going to have to work on, the cast, man, more, but that's just the general premise, you know. You got the Brokeback Mountain murder mystery.
Yeah.
That's what you got right here. That's what you got, man.
I got it. I get the general premise of this.
Yeah, and it's going to be solved. You know, I don't exactly know the whole plot. You know, I guess if someone wants to fund the movie, I can put more thought into it.
He's like, I'll put actual thought into the end of this and get this plot synopsis.
I was riding a huge high off winning the last one, so it was very hard for me to come down and actually put the whole story together.
It's all good. I think I got the general premise of this. It's actually not too bad.
With the Brokeback Mountain, you got to solve the death of Heath Ledger, man. And they could call in, you know... Who could he call in, man? He could call in, you know.
Oh, dude,
the Lonely Island guys, and they're gonna, and then we'll just have, they'll be the guys that help solve the mystery.
What happened to Gary Busey?
Well, he's too busy trying to maintain his turtle erection from winning.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'll say he's still trying to maintain that turtle erection. He's pitching
it. Yeah. he's literally pitching.
He's pitching a tent.
Okay. Gary Busey.
Smashley's go.
Okay, so my pitch it is the Mountain Murder Mystery, right? The MMM.
Yes.
It's going to be called the MMM, the real one. The MMM, the real one. Just
called
who cares?
MMM,
the real
one.
Who cares? That's what it's called. And it's called Grandma and Grandpa Walton Murder Everyone, and then they live happily ever after. Vote for me. It's very short and sweet, except for I'm 5'10 and really mean. So fucking vote for me.
What?
Ta-da!
So basically... It's like a story about like that one thing where those teens like try to break into those old people's house and then just like get completely torn apart.
No, just Grandma and Grandpa Walton just murder everyone.
So. In the entire town?
And whoever. If you fuck with them, they murder you. They live on a mountain. So if you come up the mountain, you know, it's called
a mountain.
So
basically it's like the Hills Have Eyes.
Mystery.
But with the Waltons.
Yeah, with Grandma and Grandpa.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah, that's actually, I like that. Hills Have Eyes with the Waltons.
The MMM, the real one.
I like it.
Not that's the fake one.
I'm, that's actually kind of better than mine. I like that. But I like the idea of Snake Plissken fucking Mountain Man.
But dude, Brokeback Mountain murder mystery?
That's, yeah.
With the Lonely Island.
I actually thought about yours. I was like, man, Brokeback Mountain murder mystery is kind of like a fucking Clue. They're all just trying to figure out who killed who. They all have suspects, but it's all like eight different people.
Be like the Pink Panther, too.
Yeah, do a Pink Panther version of it.
It's Brokeback Mountain.
This segment's wild.
This segment is completely outrageous.
Pitch it real good. I haven't even drank today. I need some booze.
Oh, this is terrible.
I need my second
terribly
booze.
Hilarious.
I'm 5'10 and I'm mean. Watch out.
But all right, everybody. That has been the show. We have had a great time. We are actually part of the newly changed name, goddammit, to the Podfix Network.
Dude, remember that time that the Podfix Network didn't follow me? But they followed the Melrose Place podcast.
Well, they followed you.
Yeah, I know. But I was just saying, the Melrose Place podcast. Imagine having a podcast about Melrose Place.
I don't know, man. I don't even think I ever watched Melrose Place. I'm not even sure what that's about.
They only made that for like, just. I mean, that's like, I'm going to start a home improvement podcast. Well, I'm just going to review Home Improvement.
I'm going to review old episodes of Home Improvement.
Sounds like a good idea, really.
That does sound like a good idea.
Yeah, dude. We could talk
copyright
about,
and patent.
We could talk about Jonathan Taylor Thomas a lot.
Yeah, I like it.
You used to like have so many posters.
Trademark.
Remember how many posters of him you used to have on your wall?
All of them.
Yeah. Most of them.
Most of them.
Most of the ones with his shirt off and holding puppies.
I mean, those are the best, aren't they?
Mostly.
You're gonna get them,
I didn't even have any of that, so y'all are weird.
It's all J-Loss today. Who would, let me point out that he is wearing Crocs. He is actually 3-2-1. He is wearing Crocs.
They're old as shit.
Irrelevant.
I can't keep sandals on my feet.
Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Croc life.
Whatever. But all right.
What a croc.
The Podfix Network. That's a great network. Everybody should check it out. They've added 5 new podcasts from the original.
Yes, we added 5 more to the network. So we have like Netflix and Swill, Jake and Tom, Twisted Philly,
Shaken Not Nerd, and Have You Seen?
Have You Not Seen?
How have you not seen? Oh, are these people? Okay, never mind. If you people are trying to follow me and I haven't followed you back, I'm sorry. I'm really horrible. My thing's private. I have a lot of people in my followers right now, like literally like 30 plus, and I literally don't know who any of you are. And I'm just like, should I follow them or should I not? It's stupid. I'm sorry.
I've literally never talked to any of these people, but I know like, I knew the 2 people you didn't even know, dude.
Yeah.
You talk to these people every day and you didn't even know.
I got to 3 of them and I brain farted.
Despicable.
And then you caught me on the other 2. That's but we got them all. But we got all 5 of them.
You remember that time that guy was standing in the woods talking about cheeseburgers and he was like, this is unforgivable. That's you right now. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'm the guy standing in the woods talking about this is unforgivable.
Yeah. Do you remember that guy?
I do, actually.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember him dying during the video trying to actually do that shit, say that shit, too. That was hilarious.
Fucking right. Next time, it's it, and then some flashback.
And some flashback.
I have a good one to suggest after we stop.
Alrighty, everybody. But this has been great. You can catch us at Now and Tech Pod on Twitter, nowandtech.weebly.com, and pretty much any like podcast listener you want to listen to us on, just type in Now and Technicolor Podcast. All right, but all right. So everybody, take care. It's been fun. Stay colorful.
Check out more shows like it at PodFixNetwork.com.